Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Takehiro Sakito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Monday, November 1st, 2021. Welcome back to the podcast, Sakito-san.
Good to be back.
Always good to have you. And I think we have plenty to talk about today, so let's dive right in. Why don't we start with the results of the lower house election held this past Sunday? From what I saw, it appeared that the ruling coalition did a bit better than feared. I'm curious if that's the right takeaway.
Yeah, the ruling party coalition of the Liberal Democratic Party, LDP, and the Komeito will have 293 seats in Japan's lower house, and the opposition parties, 174. The ruling coalition partners of the LDP and the Komeito have an absolute now stable majority of 261 seats, with a majority of committee members belonging to the ruling coalition. Prime Minister Fumio Kishida will convene an extraordinary Diet session to launch the second Kishida administration on November 10th. The session, to focus on a new capitalism, will prioritize the fiscal year 21 supplementary budget, additional economic measures, and a fiscal year 22 budget, and JGB issues plans, which were likely to be a catalyst for not only JGBs and yen basis, but also dollar yen spot rates. Depending on the details of the fiscal year 22 JGB issues plans and policy responses by other key G10 central banks, argues that yen rates will return to a neutral bias from an upward bias in November, while yen basis will maintain a widened bias as Japanese companies and investors actively manage their business and bond investment portfolios.
Okay, so we've got elections behind us. Results. It was clear that the ruling coalition would have a majority, but the takeaway is they have a more stable majority than perhaps we feared. So that's great to understand. Switching topics, the other big event of the week clearly was the October BOJ meeting. Why don't you take our listeners through the key takeaways of the policy meeting?
Okay. The Bank of Japan, BOJ, made no change to monetary policy at its October 27th to 28th Monetary Policy Board meeting. The lead assessment of Japan's economy in the BOJ's October Outlook Report stayed the same, but the expected inflation rate was revised upward. While Monetary Policy Board members' median economic and inflation outlook figures were cut, this was in large part due to the impact of export and production supply restrictions, as well as central fund rate cuts. The core CPI forecast in the outlook report is still far off the 2% target. However, from November onward, the BOJ may change policy operations depending on, firstly, the spillover effects from import inflation on domestic inflation pressures, and secondly, changes in supply restrictions. What I found in my recent Nagoya domestic roadshow in October is that Japanese companies, especially in the automobile sector, are under supply restrictions, but they appear to be ready for a turnaround and recovery from December. There are both upside and downside risks for BOJ Governor Haruhiko Kuroda's views of inflation and production and export from November onward. We should continue to watch him closely without any bias.
That's interesting. So that automakers appear to be readying for a turnaround as soon as December. Yeah, that's you'll wonder when these supply chain disruptions work themselves out. And I would say December would be a good result from what I feel like a lot of people fear. Changing topics completely, as we discussed in last week's episode, Japanese life insurance companies have been releasing their investment strategies for the second half of the fiscal year. You wrote about this in a JPY cross asset piece released last week entitled Japanese Lifers Buy Super Long JGBs, Enhance Yield with USD and Euro Stocks and Corporate Bonds. Would you mind taking our listeners through the main points of the publication?
Okay. Major Japanese lifers have released their second half fiscal year 21 investment strategy plans. Six lifers out of 10 major lifers increase their holdings of domestic JGB bonds, while four lifers showed an inclination to buy more foreign stocks. Two lifers reduced their holdings of Japan stocks after accumulating holdings in fiscal year 20. Two lifers increased its holdings of hedged foreign bonds as it forecast on improving yields with credit investing in a hedged foreign bonds to replace JGBs. Two lifers showed fairly strong risk preference for foreign bonds. Most notably, they are firstly holding and buying more JGBs in order to adjust durations. Secondly, seeking higher returns from foreign stocks. And thirdly, looking for more investing opportunities with alternative investments, such as hedge funds and real estates, in order to improve yields. Also, lifers, fourth, appear to be showing more preference for credit bonds over sovereign bonds. And a fifth, reshuffling their holdings of Japanese stocks after actively buying in fiscal year 20.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It doesn't look like a lot of demand or future demand for fixed income, although I guess credit is perhaps a little bit of an exception. Interesting in that, lifers had been huge sellers of or net sellers of foreign bonds for about as long as I can remember. And through the month of September, they're actually buyers for three straight months. So perhaps that maybe doesn't continue or doesn't continue as in earnest. So thanks for that. So we've covered a broad number of topics. So why don't we conclude with your outlook going forward across markets, specifically yen rate, spot dollar yen, and yen basis?
The recent yen weakening has posed now. After Japan's lower house elections, key events are the FOMC meeting on November 2nd to 3rd, and OPEC meeting November 4th. The market has already priced in the start of monetary tapering in November, as well as two rate hikes in 2022 in the US. US dollar could weaken right after the FOMC meeting. If OPEC decides to put off increasing oil production and Japanese exporters sell yen more actively, then this could support a low bound for dollar yen. We change our view for dollar yen from a neutral bias to a bullish bias with 2.5 yen range between 113 to and 115.50. The super long end and belly of the yen yield curve have declined with long term and front ends rising. Movements have been limited and deferred by duration. There is not a lot of time before the upper house elections next year. After the lower house elections, we modify our view for yen swap base from an upper bias to neutral bias. The yen basis curve has widened. The Ministry of Finance weekly data for October 17th to 23rd shows that Japanese unloaded a net 556 billion yen of overseas securities, while overseas investors unloaded a net 81 billion yen of Japanese securities. Both Japanese and foreigners turned net sellers. Japanese investors unloaded a net 604 billion yen of medium to long-term foreign bonds, but bought a net 120 billion yen of overseas stocks and investment fund holdings. Overseas investors, like Japanese, net unloaded medium to long-term yen bonds by 372 billion yen, but remained a net buyer of stock and investment fund holdings by 229 billion yen, and a short-term yen bonds by 61 billion yen. Securities investing flows among both Japanese and foreigners have slowed. The dollar-yen basis response seems to show that Japanese have dominated with U.S. dollar asset funding with yen basis. We expect yen basis to maintain its trend over the near term and return to widening bias from a neuro bias.
I would point out when you say the Japanese, you know, has dominated, you know, with asset funding with JPY basis, that you're really speaking of Japanese corporates, right? And their hedging with cross currency basis. You know, I would in our conversations, you know, I know you had, you know, that was an important distinction that you made. And I would say that, you know, flows through the franchise, we certainly didn't see a ton of foreign bond buying last week, you know, which again supports the thesis that's more Japanese corporates rather than Japanese investors. So great stuff as always. That was pretty far reaching. I felt like we covered a lot of ground and I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.